You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com, and you can listen on the TuneIn app as well, which is a good app to use on your smart device. This is Trumpet Radio Live. Today is the 26th of July, and here are some things that have happened on this day in history. In 1945, this is the one we want to talk about a little bit more today, Winston Churchill resigned as Britain's Prime Minister.
Yeah, this is the infamous moment when he lost the general election just after Germany was defeated and the war was still going on against Japan. And I think this is interesting to look at because it is a good study in leadership in Churchill, how he responded to this and leading up to it. But also, I think it's also interesting studying democracy. And because a lot of us consider Churchill as the greatest, probably the greatest democratic leader ever in world history, I would venture to say. But yeah, he was voted out of office a month after his greatest achievement. So I think it's just good to look at that and remind ourselves that for in a democracy, usually we're the ones to blame for the leaders we put in for what they do or what they achieve. The people are the ones who decide that in the end.
Yeah, he must have been thinking, like, what else do I have to do for you people?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I mean, he basically saved Western civilization, obviously, you know, standing up there until the U.S. came on board. So, but even still, people didn't want him at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I have some good quotes here from people who were with him at the time and even what he said. And I think there's a good lesson there in dignity and leaving with grace instead of deriding the people that helped you. But I, just thinking more about this, at thetrumpet.com, I wrote an article about the Holocaust, and I read a couple books on that lately. And reading about that, it does really bear in mind the decision, I think more importance to the decision Churchill made to keep fighting against Hitler when the world didn't know about the Holocaust yet and the Final Solution and all that to a great extent, and his refusal to negotiate with Hitler and to keep fighting, even though it seemed like the odds were stacked against them. And with that decision, it did allow time for the United States to come on board, mobilize, and deliver really the big blow against Hitler with the Russians too, that for victory. And reading about those details, it really does show how evil that regime was, and that for Churchill, the right did make him mighty. That if he choose when he chose the right side, that was all the might he needed to keep going. And but with this here, so he had a coalition government with the Labour Party for during wartime. And but early in June, well, late May, early June, Labour decided not to stop backing him. So he had to call a general election. And he made a couple mistakes. He wasn't really he didn't put a lot of time towards the election. He was thinking more about the Europe and trying to build it and protect it against communism. So he was really caught up in that, and rightfully so. He saw a lot of problems with the way Truman was doing it, and how they were basically letting Stalin run rampant in Europe. And so he was focused a lot on the post-war Europe, reconstructing Germany, ensuring that communism is contained there in Eastern Europe, and trying to get their freedom as well. So when election day came, he made an infamous speech where he called the socialists that they would have some kind of Gestapo. People didn't like that. He hated socialism, but people saw socialism as a way to ease their daily lives. They weren't really thinking about the ideology too much. So when election day came, Labour had a landslide victory. Conservatives lost their majority. They are now a huge minority in Parliament. And Churchill, he was expecting the win. But it's interesting, he woke up on July 25th at night with a sharp pain in his side, and he couldn't sleep, and he thought that might be a bad omen for what was going to happen the next day. And sure enough, reports are coming in of conservative defeats, and it was a bitter pill for him to swallow. I have a quote here from Lord Margison. He was a contemporary, and he wrote to Churchill to my dying day, that he said to Churchill 6 years later, "I shall never forget the courage and forbearance you showed at that most unhappy luncheon after defeat was known. It was a terrific example of how to take it on the chin without flinching." So despite his, it's a hard thing to accept because he thought the people would be a little more grateful for what he did, his leadership. But I think one of Churchill's great qualities is he did bow to the wishes of the British people. He was a democracy man through and through. He would obey their will. And when his doctor, Lord Moran, said how ungrateful the British people were, Churchill just said, oh no, I wouldn't call it that. They have had a hard time. So he understood that they wanted a future to rebuild after the war, and they didn't think he was right for the job, so he was going to obey what they said.
Yeah, we don't see a lot of that type of mentality in politics today, oftentimes. Sometimes we still do. But, you know, it'll be interesting in this election in the U.S. I'm just very interested to see what the losing party says.
Right.
Because it's just, things are so mean-spirited and childish in a lot of ways, the back and forth comments and the attacks and that type of thing. So it'll be interesting to see what the losing party does. You know, if they come out and they're gracious and they throw their support behind the person that won, or if they don't. So, you know, you don't see a lot of, you don't see enough of that today. I think in 2008, when President Obama won and he beat McCain, I believe it was.
Yes.
If I'm remembering all my dates here correctly. I remember watching that, and I thought McCain was pretty gracious about it, you know, because he got up there and there was kind of the crowd was a little bit upset and everything, and he was pretty gracious about it and said, well, no, you know, we're going to support the president and that type of those type of comments. And that's got to be hard to do. You put your whole being into trying to win and then you don't. And it really is sort of a popularity contest, and it's hard to lose those and be gracious about it. So sometimes people still are that way, but I'll be interested to see what happens in this election.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think we're going to see even more hateful speech after whoever we find out who wins. And even with the current president, too, he has had a lot of speeches where he kind of derides America's past. And there hasn't been a lot of gratefulness in to those who have made America what it is so he could he could be president right now. But I just have a quick excerpt here from Churchill's speech he made to the nation when he resigned. And that's the final paragraph here. He does say he regrets he couldn't finish the war fighting Japan and he did want to finish the job. But then he says this: "It only remains for me to express to the British people, for whom I have acted in these perilous years, my profound gratitude for the unflinching, unswerving support which they have given me during my task, and for the many expressions of kindness which they have shown towards their servant." So just a great message to the British people there, because they did support him. They have been through a lot, and Churchill did wish them the best, no matter how they voted for him. I think an interesting take on this, too, is the post-World War II order that we know of now would be a lot different if Churchill was able to be a part of it, because a lot of the mistakes made, allowing Germany to denazify itself, being weak when it against Joseph Stalin, a lot of these things that created the circumstances of a European economic community, etc., happened without Churchill in office, without his experience, without his knowledge, and his more of insight than other leaders had. But I think a lot of things that happened for Bible prophecy, etc., happened when he was out of office. He was out of the way to prevent a lot of mistakes being made. So I think it's just an interesting reason why he was taken out of the way at such a time. He came back later in 1951. He was elected as prime minister then. But a lot of the damage had already been done.
Yeah, it seems like it's a pretty good indication that the people in the UK didn't want to finish the job. It was a lot of work to do still with the Soviet Union and, like you say, with Germany. And probably just tired of fighting, kind of beaten down. And but again, and Herbert Armstrong always talked about this, you know, we won the war to a point, but then we didn't win the peace. There still was a lot that needed to be done to really ensure that those powers didn't rise again, and yet here we are today talking about Europe rising up. And so it's pretty interesting to see how that's all taking place. There's a lot of good write-ups at thetrumpet.com about that. There's a booklet on Winston Churchill and some of what he did and his place in history and prophecy there. So you can get that at thetrumpet.com. That's a free one. And some good programs about him as well that you could search for there at thetrumpet.com. 1945, on this day, Winston Churchill resigned as Britain's prime minister. And it's a good example, too, of, as you said, following the will of the people, right or wrong, because that's what the vote was. And sometimes today we don't really see that. We see agendas get pushed through. Doesn't matter what people think about it. We've seen that more and more, especially over the last few years.
Yeah, exactly. It's a magnanimity of character that is vanishing from a lot of the leaders today.
Right. Yep. Democracy is kind of a two-way street. It's not only, you know, the leader's way. It's if the people go a different way, it goes a different way, for better or for worse sometimes, but that's the way it works. Those are some of the things that have happened on this day in history. Make sure you listen for the Key of David program coming up here in a little bit on KPCG, and then the Trumpet Daily Radio Show as well with your host Stephen Fleury from Edstone, England. A lot to talk about today. Europe definitely under attack from terrorism, and it's going on almost every day now. He's got a lot to talk about there, and he's over there in Europe. So, well, what used to be Europe, right? Since the Brexit, they're kind of their own entity, but not part of that continent, but still over in that part of the world. So make sure you listen for that insight on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show coming up here in a bit on KPCG. That'll do it for us on Trumpet Radio Live today. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Abraham Blondeau, thanks for joining us today. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.